Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You're listening to KFI AM 640, The Bill Handel Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app. KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Bill Handel here with the morning crew on a very rainy Wednesday morning, March 22. Some of the big stories we are looking at, trending. Number one story is the rain. And it's going to be miserable today. We just get pounded over and over again. And the Trump jury is reconvening today in New York. Maybe the indictment comes down today. As I said earlier, I think the former president is looking forward to doing a perp walk. Boy, badge of honor and all that. Not going to happen. It's going to be very quiet. And we'll see what happens with the demonstrations. Now, one of the big and probably the biggest local story other than the weather is it's day two of the strike against LA Unified School District. And this is all about, well, mainly money. And, you know, both sides have a point here, but I am going to get off of the, I think both sides have a point, even though they do, and that is go in favor of the strikers. And this has to simply do with paying. The school district, Carvalho, the superintendent, says we are offering historic increases in pay. It's never been done. Probably true. However, when you look at the actual numbers, this gets pretty crazy. So the strike is set to last through tomorrow. And this is after months of negotiations that went no place. And this is all about SEIU, which is the union that is that represents bus drivers, custodians, special education assistants, cafeteria workers. That is the local that is striking. The teachers' union isn't striking per se, but they are honoring the picket line. So schools are shut down completely. And so what is going on? Well, parents and students, I mean, this is, let me tell you, they're sacrificing quite a bit to do this because they just said it's over. Now, in terms of the amount of money that's being offered, you know what? As Carvalho said, look at this. We've never had anything like this because we're offering a 23% raise. Cumulatively, starting with a 2% retroactive to the 2021 school year, ending with 5% in 2024. The package also includes a one-time 3% bonus for people who have been on the job since 2020, expanded hours, more full-time positions, improved eligibility for healthcare benefits. And you know what? He's absolutely right. We've never had something this large before. Now let's look at the other side of the coin. And one of the strike points, the major strike point, is Max Arias, executive director of Local 99, which represents 30,000 people that walked off the job. He says, most of our members have to take a second or third job just to survive. The goal of the union is to raise the average annual wage of members from $25,000 a year to $36,000 a year. That's living in Southern California. That's not living in Yemen. This is It's atrocious. It's a Shonda is what it is. It's a humiliation for us to allow people to work full time and they make $25,000 a year or even $36,000 a year. It's tough. It really is. And this is where the union, I believe the union has a very strong case. So in terms of increase, say you're in Nevada where minimum wage is $7.25, by the way. Okay, and you get a 40% raise. Oh my God, that's unbelievable. Now you're up to a big $11 an hour. There you go. We've never had that kind of a raise. You should live on that. And then one of the statements that one of the union leaders made, and this one is just completely crazy, and that is, look how we're starving. Okay, and Carvalho makes $440,000 a year. That's more than the president of the United States. Yeah. He does make that much money. He's running a $12.6 billion organization. How many CEOs out there that run $12 billion companies get $400,000 a year? Well, but he makes more than the president. That's true. But he has to wait at the airport to fly. The president has that neat 747, doesn't he? Carvalho has to pay rent. I don't think the president pays rent for the White House, does he?
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah. And how much would the rent be on the White House? A big place, a lot of rooms. Now, the last couple of days, there was a meeting. We've been talking about this between Xi Jinping of China, president of China. He went to Moscow to meet with Putin. And a lot happened. But the story is more what didn't happen. This was what the U.S., the allies, our Western allies, partners, were sweating bullets. And that is that there was no statement from Putin and Xi that lethal weaponry was going to be given to Russia by China. And it's a very interesting juxtaposition. I'm going to go a little bit back in history. 1949, China became communist. Red China was formed by Mao Zedong after the war, after World War II. And the only country in the world that backed China was Russia. That was it. That was the country that enabled Red China to survive as a country. And now the tables have turned. Now it is Russia that looks at China for help in terms of lethal weaponry and as far as markets are concerned, because Russia has become a pariah nation because of the war in Ukraine. So their meeting was a lot of show, and there were still there were some underlying big issues that were established. First of all, no question about Beijing's commitment to developing rapport with Moscow. And this is happening as Putin is becoming more and more isolated. It didn't move the needle at all when it came to resolving the Ukrainian war, even though China came in with its, quote, peace plan as a broker. Clearly one-sided. I'll explain that in a minute. And this three-day visit by Xi really was an opportunity for the two, quote, friends, as they describe themselves, to showcase a very close personal rapport, more and more connecting each other as countries and isolating themselves from the West. China is the weird one here. Russia, it's easy. Russia invades Ukraine, sanctions hit. Russia says, too bad, is running out of ammunition, is being ostracized by the world. China is a very different animal. China, first of all, is the manufacturer in the world. Russia's involvement, other than energy to Europe, it's not that great a deal. And even then, European nations are moving at an incredible rate to get away from reliance on Russian oil and gas. There were a couple of dozen agreements in areas from trade and technology, state propaganda. While that was going on an interesting note, the Japanese prime minister went to Ukraine to meet with Zelensky in a show of solidarity. So this thing is breaking down. But here's what happens. The meetings between Xi and Putin, there was no breakthrough. There was no resolving the conflict. As a matter of fact, there was no mention of Russia even invading Ukraine. Both the leaders called for the cessation of actions that increase tensions. and prolong the war in Ukraine. No acknowledgement that the invasion, the military assault, was the cause of ongoing violence and that humanitarian crisis. No word about that. And both of the leaders urge NATO to, quote, respect the sovereignty security interests of other countries. In other words, you know, what Russia is doing, it's a sovereign country that's doing what it is for its own interests, self-interest, and I guess self-defense. That's what Russia is saying. And we have to respect that. NATO has to respect that. Now, that's not new. Long-standing commitment to the issue or to the belief that it's Western Security Alliance that provoked Russia to invade. It was the West that did this. And it really was an invasion. Keep in mind that Russia is preemptively stopping an invasion by the West to destroy the Russian Federation. So it's a preemptive strike. We're going to go there before they destroy us. And the Chinese go, yep, that's what is happening. Now, Putin said of this, quote, peace brokering, in which all China is doing is let's respect the sovereignty. Let's sit down and work this out. No specifics. But everybody assumes, experts assuming that working it out is letting Russia have eastern Ukraine and recognizing that that really is Russia and the rest of the country can basically go pound sand. Putin said that a lot of the provisions that Xi came forward with could be taken as a basis for the peace talks. Yes, I'll pay attention to that, says Putin, and we'll use it as a base and move on from there. And this all has to do with China and Russia's move to build their alignment against the U.S. This is as much as being anti-U.S. and NATO and the West as it is them combining forces and philosophies and economies. So what's the big issue? What did not happen? What did not happen is that Xi gave promised lethal aid to Russia. Even though it's not mentioned in the communique, it's not mentioned in any of the releases, everybody knows that Putin asked Xi for lethal weapons. Putin is running out of ammunition. Putin has weaponry that is very old, some World War II era. Ukraine is getting more and more modern weaponry. We, the United States, are increasing the flow and the advanced weaponry. At first, Biden said, oh, no, we're not going to send Bradley tanks. We're not going to send those HIMARS, those very high philosophy, very long-ranged artillery shells that you can literally put into a car window. No, we're not going to do that. They've all gone there. And Russia is sweating bullets, if you want to pardon that phrase. So that's what's going on. Nothing particularly unexpected between Xi and Putin, but a sigh of relief. Whew. Because if weaponry were sent, that changes the dynamics of everything. And all of a sudden now you have a war in which Ukraine is not winning, but losing dramatically. That's what's going on there. Well, as a result of the rain, as you can imagine, we're not happy campers. Now, usually it's when we talk about water and rising sea levels, et cetera, the issue is always beachfront property. That's what's that. You buy a $14 million home in Malibu, and you used to have 75 or 100 feet of beachfront in front of you, and now it's 35. And pretty soon, have you seen those pictures? You go to Fiji or any of those Caribbean islands, or not Caribbean, Pacific Islands, and you have those houses on stilts that you can dive right into the water.
Oh, yeah, they're like huts, kind of.
Yeah, that's Malibu in 10 years, and you're going to really enjoy it. And when you go into the water, that's public, right? That doesn't belong to anybody. The beach doesn't belong to anybody. It belongs to the people of the state. In other words, you can go down the beach and you go past Steven Spielberg's house. You can go past David Geffen's house. You can go past all of these homes, Mike Eisner of Disney. And you have these multi-zillion dollar homes in the colony in Malibu. And you walk right in front of their house because the beach is yours. It isn't theirs. Belongs to the people of the state of California. So they're going to be able to, when their homes are on stilts, you'll be able to swim right under the houses. How's that? Okay, that was the big issue. You know what the big issue now is? It's switched to the bluffs. It's switched to the hillsides. You're on top of a hillside, which is just great view. So instead of $14 million, it's $4 million or $6 million for basically the same house, but it's not on the water. Except you're going to come down near the water as the home slides down the hill. And that is where the attention is being paid because the ground is so saturated, is so wet, so unstable that it just comes roaring down. And heretofore, you would never think that these homes would come down the hill. I mean, they're on rock. They're on ground that is bedrock on top of bedrock, and there's never a problem. Well, there is a problem. And the Coastal Commission is talking about this, and one of the cities, as a matter of fact, what is it? I think San Clemente has hired a coastal engineering firm to figure out sand erosion and assess beach section in areas that are vulnerable. In other words, even going down these little hillsides to the beach, it's all going to hell in a handbasket. So here is what's going on. How are these heretofore untouchable bluffs where your $6 million house with a great view of the ocean sits on top of? Or any home that sits on top of a hill in Southern California, because the rain has been pretty widespread. I was just talking to Jennifer early. The rain last night around 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, it was so heavy, it was so loud that I had to turn the TV up almost to full volume just to hear the TV. I think that's bad. So the scientists will tell you that the stability of any cliff, any slope, any hillside is really a function of just three things. That's it. One, the underlying rock type. I'm talking about the rock itself, not the dirt. It's the underlying rock. How steep the slope is has so much to do with it. And then the big kahuna, the amount of water that is on or underneath. And according to the scientists, the only thing that varies ever is the amount of water. And when you reach critical mass, the water just undercuts everything. And the hillsides come down and houses come crashing down. Now, there've only been a few, but some have been red tagged. Are we going to see more of them? Looks like, because these are unprecedented rains. And everybody goes, oh, okay, global warming. Remember, we've often said when climate change, which is, of course, what they call it, when the rains come, it gets rainier. When the storms come, they get stronger. Look what's going on outside. When summer comes and the drought hits, it gets hotter. It's hotter for longer. The reservoirs dry up. Now, the reservoirs, I'm assuming, are going to be filled up. Jen, are they going to be at a 100% or close to 100% after the next batch of storms?
I haven't seen that we'll be that good, but I know that there are ones that are rising feet per day. We just did a story yesterday on Lake Shasta, one of our biggest ones in the state, and I think it had gone up 8 feet or something like that in like 48 hours or
something.
So it
only has another 200 feet to go, and we're getting there. Yeah, it's better than nothing. Immigration law is, I've always been fascinated by this. Now, you may not know this, but in front of an immigration judge, very different immigration court than is any criminal court. Immigration courts are always federal. And for the most part, people aren't automatically entitled to a defense. Criminal cases, absolutely, both federal and state. You can't afford a lawyer, you get assigned a lawyer. Well, the state, our state, California, being a very liberal state, already pays some of the legal bills in immigration court. We'll provide an attorney. Now, these are not state attorneys. They don't work for the state. But money is given to nonprofits who then are comprised of or hire lawyers to go in and help immigrants who have are in front of immigration court. Usually they've asked for asylum, and then the case is heard. And because most of them don't speak English, because they don't have the wherewithal to hire a lawyer, they're going to lose big time. And the state says, okay, we'll pay for it. We'll help you. And that's been around for a while. And so the person's legal defense comes from the state budget in California, in many cases, when a deportation hearing is being held. Every year, the state sets aside about $45 million for grants to nonprofits. It's a program called One California, and it's already paid for legal representation for more than 1,000 Californians facing detention or deportation or family separation. Now, there is an exception to defending one of these folks who is sitting in immigration court. And that is if that person has been convicted of a serious or violent felony, no go. No attorney for you. Because, well, here's the law. One California. That's what it says. Well, that may change. There's an assembly member, Reggie Jones Sawyer, a Democrat from L.A., wants to remove that barrier and views it as a civil rights issue, saying immigrants should have the same rights to representation and due process as everyone else. Now, that gets kind of interesting. They do have the same right. They just don't have the automatic assignment of a lawyer. If you afford a lawyer, you get a lawyer. If you can't afford a lawyer, if it's you're not guilty of a violent crime, you get a lawyer. And if you are guilty of a felony, you don't get a lawyer. And what Jones Sawyer is saying, no, you get a lawyer come hell or high water. You go, wait a minute. It's a two-tier system. It's not fair. What do you mean it's not fair? I mean, the entire judicial system is a two-tiered system. When you have money for a lawyer, you get a better lawyer than when you don't have money. It's not like it's not as if the defenders, public defenders, are bad lawyers. Some of them are superb lawyers, but their caseload is overwhelming. The resources are fairly limited. Now, in huge cases, if you're talking about massive, high-profile murder, mass murder cases, believe me, all the resources the defendant needs are there. But for the most part, that's not the case. It is a two-tiered system. It has never been fair. And the argument is that Jones Sawyer says it's due process. And those people who are against the introduction of this bill are saying they've already had due process. They've been convicted of a felony or a misdemeanor, a violent misdemeanor. They have been convicted. There's the due process. And you don't automatically, you shouldn't be automatically entitled to a defense lawyer in immigration court. That's a federal court. It has nothing to do with the state. The state on its own has a program saying, we're going to help you. Not constitutionally mandated at all. It's just part of a state program of a very liberal state. And so that bill is in the works. And of course, those that are saying no thank you are saying, first of all, let's look at just the fairness of this. Does an immigrant, someone who is seeking asylum, who is convicted of a crime, is it a double hit? Due process means not only in criminal trial, but also in immigration court. Okay, well, no. Because, for example, let's say you are convicted of a crime and you want to appeal it. You don't get defense. You're on your own. You get defense during the trial, but then after that, you are on your own. Unless you're looking for the death penalty, then the automatic appeals go crazy. Well, there's a two-tiered system. Wow. You're in prison. You have the money for an appeal. You hire a lawyer. Okay. There you go. You're poor, you're destitute, your family doesn't have money, you don't have the money for a lawyer, therefore you can't appeal. There's your two-tiered system. And the other thing that the detractors of this bill, those that are saying you can't do it, because we're going to be in deficit this year. We're going to be in some serious deficit this fiscal year. And do we take that kind of money? I'd rather have a grant program from the state to fix potholes, for example. How's that for due process? I have a constitutional right to drive my car so that the tire doesn't explode and I lose my alignment. I'm on a public road, you bastards, and I have that right. Well, no, you really don't. We're not going to take our tax dollars and give local municipalities money to fix your pothole. We are, however, going to take state money and we're going to give it to those who are asking for asylum. Now, how far do you go? I mean, I would like to, but then we go back to the issue of illegal immigration. And then the story gets much deeper than that. And as we dive in, all of a sudden, it's many layers. It's the onion. Is it fair? Is it not fair? Do we secure our borders? Do we not? Do we have open arms that anybody comes in? If you're declaring, I want an asylum hearing, I can't afford it. Well, here the state will pay for it and give you an asylum. Let's say you lose. Can you appeal it? I don't know that answer because, frankly, I've never been deported. Now, a lot of people think I should be deported.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Now, that's a question I should answer is, are you entitled to an appeal? You're not entitled to a jury, incidentally. Jennifer, you know the answer?
No, I was just saying you were asking if you should be deported, and I was saying yes. I was in favor.
Yeah, it's because we're conservative and we're American citizens. You know, bastards.
No, it's just
you don't care about human beings. Yeah, I mean, it's complicated stuff, and there is a couple issues, and this is one of those where, you know, my heart goes out to folks. I mean, because here's their crime in reality. You know what their crime is? They want to feed their families. They want opportunity for their families. How can you not feel for those? The problem is there are millions, tens of millions that would come here. We have a medical news segment with Dr. Jim Keeney.
Dr. Keeney, paging Dr. Keeney. It's time for medical news with Dr. Jim Keeney. Where the hell is this guy? On the Bill Handel Show.
Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Bill.
We've got a lot to cover. All right. I want to start with a statement. And this is I often get not into arguments, but discussions with people who talk about America is the greatest country in the world. And for the most part, I agree. However, we have to break that down. For example, one of the things that we are not so great is we're number 19 in literacy or number 15. When it comes to the maternal deaths, we're actually climbing. We're not near the top. Why is that happening?
Yeah. So, I mean, first of all, I'm happy you started with this story because of all the stories we're doing, that's probably the most important and in the list because, you know, we're not doing well because of a lot of different things. You know, we have commercial health plans and the way we have a capitalistic system that works, you know, pretty well. And it works great for developing new technologies and for furthering and advancing healthcare. So if you're at the tip of that spear, you're doing great. The problem is people do get left behind, and especially where we see that is in maternal health care, because if you get pregnant, for the most part, people are generally healthy, and they may be people that are not seeing doctors regularly. They end up having a pregnancy, they may have unknown diabetes, unknown high blood pressure, or other health issues that are treatable, that we could really impact their lives at that point, but we don't find them and we don't treat them because they don't get prenatal care. Same thing with postnatal care after the delivery, and they may have complications, say, after a C-section. So that's, I think, the main reason we're seeing these huge increases in as far as maternal health. We're also seeing, you know, a bigger disparity between whites and Hispanics are pretty much equal. And then the Black population is definitely not anywhere near the kind of maternal death rate that whites and Hispanics enjoy to a certain extent. So there's a lot going on here.
Yeah, I'm assuming that's socioeconomic. And is it also a distrust of, and I'm going to ask this question, and now we're going into politics, a distrust of modern medicine, where there's enough out there on the internet. You can, if you go to a doctor and you're pregnant, you're going to get bad advice. You're not going to get good medical care. You know, take this supplement. This is going to do it for you instead.
Yeah, I mean, if that's true, I think that would hit everything, you know, hit all diseases. I think for maternal health care, it is more just getting people through the door. And there may be racial disparities in how we go about doing that, that maybe attract one population and maybe detract it from another population. So, you know, those are the types of things that we need to look at, is how do we get more people through the door? It may be as simple as when we say you don't have access to prenatal care, maybe as simple as you don't have time off work and you can't get to the appointment because you work all day long, or childcare because you have other children that you're taking care of. So it's about getting women through the door to get prenatal care.
And so based on what you're saying, the bottom line is no one should be pregnant without prenatal care at a doctor's office or under the care of some kind of medical.
Absolutely. Yeah. 100%. Absolutely. And I'm sure there's people screaming at the radio right now saying, but what about COVID? What about COVID? Yeah. COVID definitely increased our maternal death rate. It was because, you know, being pregnant increases blood clotting and other problems like that. And so does COVID. So together, they definitely shown to increase maternal death rate. But this trend was already there before COVID hit. So COVID did accelerate it to some extent, but it's still a trend that's disturbing and that we need to turn around.
All right. This one's an easy one, so we're going to spend a minute on it. The DEA issuing a public safety warning over Trank, which is supposed to be even worse than fentanyl. So number one, what is Trank? And I've seen some pictures of people, and man, it's a horror movie when I see these Trank addicts.
Yeah, I mean, it's called xylazine. Some people have heard of that before as well, too. And it's another type of sedative. It's used in veterinary medicine. It doesn't respond to Narcan. So unlike opiates, where if you overdose on heroin or fentanyl or all those, we can give you opiate or Narcan and reverse it, get you breathing again, get your blood pressure back. That doesn't occur with xylazine. So it's more dangerous for sure. They're mixing it in because I guess it may be cheaper or easier to get into the country. It extends the time that people feel high from the drug, but it sedates your respiratory system, your blood pressure. It's dangerous.
Is it used at all for people, or is it strictly used in veterinary services?
Just strictly veterinary.
Ah, and so, and then I saw the pictures of people with these huge gaping open wounds. Is that simply a matter of kind of bed sores that they just ignore an infection they get and just let it go?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm wondering that myself. I mean, usually with people who inject, we see that they miss the vein and they get these popper abscesses, we call them. And they're basically people who skin pop, where they put the needle into the skin, miss a vein, and then it develops into an abscess that pusses out and is this big, ugly, disgusting ulcer. Other people scratch at the areas when they're high, and so then that creates ulcers. And you're right, some people just lay around in bed and because they're not moving, they get pressure ulcers or bed sores.
Just delightful. This is when you really want to be an ER doc. And just before lunch, seeing one of those people.
Yeah. Speaking of that, you know, there were empty spots filled for ER medicine. It's just not as cool and popular anymore. Kids are realizing, what the heck are we doing here? Why do we want to work in an ER?
Yeah, and why would you want to work in an ER when you can just spend, what, another year, 2 years, and become a cardiovascular surgeon and make five times the money?
Exactly. And, or a plastic surgeon.
and have a lot better lifestyle, too. The infertility people do really great. You know, I've worked with infertility docs for 30 years. Man, people write checks in advance. You want some service? Let's see. And I'm not kidding you either. Cashier's checks walking in the door.
Yeah, I believe it. No, before it used to be you couldn't get a spot. It was one of the most competitive residencies on the planet. People were more than double the amount of people were applying that even had positions. Now they didn't even fill all their emergency medicine positions across the country this year.
What does that tell you?
Well, yeah, we're all going to be in trouble. There'll be no ER doctors to take care of me in the future. That's what it tells me.
Yeah, is the work harder? The hours are crappier, certainly.
Yeah.
Itself, why do you think it's no longer one of the most sought-after specialties? Any idea?
The hours suck. The work is way harder now, because at least before, if you enjoyed the medicine part, you could kind of mostly do that. Now we spend so much time on a computer, so much time on a phone, and all the other doctors and every other specialty are doing the same thing. They're all stressed out. So every doctor you call now for consultation is super stressed out, overworked, and then you have to go tell patients that it's going to be 3 months until they can see the specialist. So, it's not quite as gratifying as it used to be. I mean, you never really saved a lot of lives, right? In a shift, you save one life a shift, one or two. That's what keeps you going. And I guess for some people that would be a lot of lives, but it's not like every single day you are just can look at your body of work and go, oh my gosh, that was, I did this amazing thing today. So you got to be able to get some satisfaction out of it. And it's getting pretty tough.
Yeah, I know it is. And then you're right. Elective surgery. I just had my eyeballs done. I don't know if we've talked about this, but I just have cataract surgery done. And I'm a member of Kaiser. I'm a Kaiser member. And I didn't even go to Kaiser. I didn't even bother because I know how long I would wait. And so I went to the doctor who did my LASIK surgery 25 years ago, went and saw him on Wednesday. Monday, I'm sitting at that machine and he's doing my eyes, both of them. He offered to do both eyes, which I accepted, and at the same time touch up the circumcision, which I said no to. So if you're willing to write the check, you do just great today. All right. The bird flu vaccine. Why would I want to get a bird flu vaccine?
Yeah, there's no reason to get one now. But the news is that they're producing, some companies are producing bird flu vaccines. Other ones are shelving, the virus so that they can be ready to produce right away. Surprisingly, there are multiple versions, FDA authorized already. So the government has already contracted with people to make this make the vaccine in the event of an outbreak. And the other kind of the sideline of this news is, again, the whole, how do we distribute these vaccines across the world? If we're producing them all, or we're buying them all from the biggest producers, then what does that say to the rest of the world? And, this is one of those things where the haves get it and the have-nots don't. Who knows what the right answer is when if the haves are paying for it and the have-nots mm-hmm. aren't? How do you equitably distribute this through the world?
Why would you even be concerned? I mean, when we talk about the bird flu, you think about, of course, entire flocks by the millions and millions of birds being destroyed, and eggs go up, and your turkey costs a fortune on Thanksgiving. But you don't think of bird flu affecting humans. Is that something at all we should be worried about?
Different bird-related flus have jumped the species to humans before, so it can happen. And, the current bird flu is H5N1. There's an outbreak, and we've had a human H5N1 outbreak before, so it's possible. It's just that this bird flu has an extremely low transmissibility to humans, so it's currently not a threat. But there definitely is an outbreak now among birds. And that, of course, we know from COVID, creates lots of opportunities for genetic mutations and the ability for it to jump species.
And with that being said, COVID, are we looking, I haven't heard about new variants that are just flying through the world population. What's going on with that?
Yeah, I mean, there are subtleties to the Omicron, variation, really. So we're getting subtypes of Omicron variation, and they are, subtly changing, but it's still Omicron, and for the most part, hasn't changed, our immune response as far as what will kill it and what won't. So there hasn't been a lot of big news there. I mean, the big news is that if you hadn't existed for the last 3 years and you were dropped into the world right now as an epidemiologist, you would still say, oh, crap, there's a pandemic going on, right? But the rest of us are so used to it, we're like, okay, no, there's, we're in a pandemic, big deal. People forget that the plague lasted 300 years. So no idea how long this is going to circulate in the, among humans. It's definitely endemic now, meaning it's normal flora in all areas of the world. And so will this kind of calm down so we don't deal with so many people getting it constantly, or will it continue at this high level for decades? No clue.
Have you been fully vaccinated, all four vaccines?
I have been. I got two okay. initial ones and two boosters.
All right.
But I have gotten COVID, so you never know, right?
Yeah.
Would I have been hospitalized? Would I have died? I really don't know. So I hope it helped me.
All right. Well, granted. All right. And so all four vaccines, how's life as an autistic? You and I will talk about that where you won't be looking at me. You'll be looking at the ground next time we talk. Jim, thank you.
Take care.
All right. We'll talk again. It is time for the one and only Dean Sharp, our house whisperer. Dean, heard right here on KFI over the weekends, and let's get right to it. Good morning, Dean.
Good morning, Bill.
All right. Spring cleaning. What ends up happening? I keep on explaining this, but normally, because my questions are so moronic, Dean will supply me saying, hey, let's talk about this week. And I go, yeah, of course. So here we go. Spring cleaning. Now, I've always seen spring cleaning like in the movies, where you take out the carpets, you beat them with the tennis racket and you scrub and you do all the stuff that you do. And I was thinking to myself, do I actually do spring cleaning? And the reality, I think I do, come April, May, I say things like, don't forget that spot over there, and get the stuff behind the couch, would you please? And I
yes.
do that. Yeah, I do that all
we
year.
We all know how you spring clean.
Yes. So, but it really is a thing, isn't it? That people do and should.
It really is a thing. And, granted, I'll give you this. We're not as driven to it in Southern California as most people are across the nation because, Southern California, even though this year we've had a winter. I mean, we've had a winter. But for most people, when spring rolls around, man, they have been locked up inside that house for a long, long time. Things are getting musty. Things are dirty. I mean, there's just all sorts of stuff when we're locked in. And, we've had our version of that. And so people are itching to get outside, but also to open up the house and to kind of purge and clear it out. And springtime is as good a time as any to address those kinds of things. So we're going to help everybody figure it out.
Well, yeah. Well, it's more than just cleaning, obviously. And I'm looking at the stuff that you ask. Of course, I don't do it, but I would. No, I wouldn't. I'd let the house just stay a filthy mess. But a couple things that you have talked about that actually resonate with me big time. For example, one of the things is doing your windows. And during the winter, of course, the windows do get grimy. Living in Southern California, there's pollution outside. So windows, we get windows. And I would have our windows done because I second story house and all that. I'm not going to go up on a ladder. But we would have someone come in and clean the windows once a year. And it was a squeegee and water, and that was
yep.
it.
Yeah.
Nothing but a squeegee and water. And people think you need the Windex and all of that. Explain that.
Well, that's one of our big points for the weekend. A couple of huge pieces of pro tip advice. Number one, be careful getting advice on the internet. Number two, learn to clean the way pros clean, and you'll get pro-level results. And you will never see a professional window cleaner, holding a can of Windex in their hand. You're going to find a bucket of water, maybe some soap inside. Now, there are some professional window cleaning soaps out there, but also, you know what? Dish soap works as well as anything. It cleans great. It doesn't streak. It has a wetting agent to help the squeegee glide along. So, you know, a bucket of water and a squeegee, maybe a strip applicator. That's a little spongy thing in order to get it, because the glass should always be wet at all times while you're doing this. Do not use paper towels or Windex on your windows outside. Just get them squeegeed off, just like you would see somebody clean your car windshield. And then, if you're going to have a towel, use it to wipe the frame, wipe the stuff off the frame when you're done cleaning the glass.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. As I watched this guy clean all the windows, and I asked him, I go, why don't you use anything? He's exactly what you said. Everything else just doesn't work as well. You don't get the professional view. Okay, let's move over to carpets, cleaning the carpets. And people do, they either get those spray things in the cans, or they go and rent those machines from the store. That's a little tough to do, isn't it? In terms of success.
Yeah. I have no issues with having, you know, we've got a couple of cans of spot cleaner because we have pets and stuff, and things happen, right? Life happens. So a little bit of a spot cleaner for a problem spill, fine. But my opinion, it's my opinion only, but it comes from years of experience. There is a lot more, and this is kudos to the carpet cleaning industry. There is a lot more to cleaning a carpet than just going and getting a machine and scrubbing it up. And, you know, people usually mess up their carpets more with store rental machines than if they had done nothing whatsoever. So my tip on carpet cleaning, use a pro, hire a pro to come in. The suction, most pros use a truck-based vacuum system. That is a big vacuum in there with a lot of power. The suction to get the water back out of your carpet, critical when cleaning it properly. The fact that most homeowners tend to overuse detergents. They're like, more soap, the better. Nope. Because the more residue that's left on the carpet fiber, the faster it gets dirty again. So it really is a craft, carpet cleaning. And so we hire a pro.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to, again, do a personal endorsement here. And that is, I used to do commercials for a carpet cleaning company. And it was a truck with a massive pump in it. And the only liquid that was used was water, and that was the treated water that they did in the truck, but it's basically water.
Yeah, again, still, your best way to clean a thing is primarily with water. If other additives have to be put in, that's fine, but again, don't overdo it.
Something that we don't normally do is drapes and upholstery. I mean, not too many people clean their couches or their drapes, so let's talk about that.
Well, unfortunately, you're right. Not many people do that, but it is a good way to keep them in good shape long term, especially the furniture that you're using all the time. The tip I would give you is really simple when it comes to this. Know your upholstery cleaning codes, and I don't mean memorize them, just be aware of them. Somewhere on your sofa, probably underneath where the tags are, there's a code written on that tag. There's going to be a W, an S slash W, or an X. And that is there to tell you how the thing needs to be cleaned. W means water is okay to use on this upholstery. S means skip the water and use a non-water-based solvent. S is for solvent, right? So that's basically kind of dry cleaning-ish. S slash W means either way is fine. And X, do not touch that with anything other than a vacuum cleaner. You've got a really sensitive piece of upholstery. You put any fluid on it, it's going to mess it up one way or the
other. So what do you do with stains? You just live with them?
Well, you know what? If you've got a piece of X fabric on, you probably know about it. And you're probably the person who's shooing people away from it all the time. It's probably there to be looked at and not actually used.
Yeah, so it's like a museum where you have the little rope, velvet rope that goes around it on a stand. Say, oh, no, you got to stay away from that.
Or it's like my southern Midwestern parents who bought a new, you know, Davenport, they called it, and then just wrapped it in plastic.
Oh, I grew up that way. The living room at my parents' house, they buy the furniture, and and they had the plastic covers that were either custom made or you bought them for the furniture, whatever size your couch was, and you put them over almost like you do a car cover. And you go, come on, and you'd sit.
Super classy.
Yeah.
And super classy.
And it's summertime, and you'd sit on plastic. I mean, I remember.
You would just stick to
and
it.
And you would sweat stick.
Yeah,
and it
you
would
do.
Hurt.
And there are times when it was so hot and so miserable, I'd sit there, I'd be in my shorts, for example, where my thighs would actually be sticking to the plastic. And I tried to get up, and it bonded molecularly. It became some kind of a substance, and I still don't know what it was.
The joys.
The joys. That's how we grew up. Fair enough. You know, I always thought, let's talk about drapes. We're talking about upholstery. Same thing with drapes?
Same thing with drapes. Check the fabric code. Now, drapes, you know, obviously, a lot of folks have much more sensitive materials hanging in the drapes. But, you know, after a while, you would be surprised. You're like, I don't know, I'm not in love with these drapes the way I used to be. Probably because they've hung there for a decade and you haven't cleaned them. So check the code and take the drapes off. Okay. Take them to a professional cleaning service.
All right, my friend. We'll catch you this weekend, Saturday morning, 6 to 8. Sunday's 9 to noon. And I'm assuming you're going to do the spring cleaning segment this weekend.
We're going for it.
You got it. All right, Dean Sharp, take care. Catch you this weekend. All right.
When you're done with people, you're really done with them.
Well, no, because I wanted to that's true. That's true. Yeah, you're done. Thank you. But especially handle on the law, especially, you know. Hey, come on. This is not Gone with the Wind. Speed this up. Come on. Done.
Those are my favorite parts of Candle on the Law.
Yeah.
And you're moving them along.
Yeah, I know. Just, yeah.
They go from Handle on the Law to the Jesus Christ Show where they contemplate ending it.
Well, know? I've often asked if I could do fill in for Jesus and do marginal spiritual advice.
That would be great.
And you can just hear me screaming, jump! Just do it! Yeah,
those were the hardest calls when we did the Chargers games and we had a four-hour pregame. It would go from the Jesus Christ Show to pregame Chargers. And I'd be on a sideline like in New York and listening to people call into that show, trying to get ready for the game, trying to get amped up. And I'm listening to the Jesus Christ Show, and I'm ready to jump off the freaking balcony.
All right, Mark Thompson in with Shannon
my
today.
My last day here. I'm looking forward to it.
All right, so Gary comes back tomorrow?
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. All right, so Mark, I'm going to let you. First of all, Shannon, hello. How are you? We're done. Mark, I'm going to let you tell me what's going on with the show today.
Well, of course, we're watching the protests in New York and the Trump indictment, you know, the photo finish between the two. Do you think more media people, Bill, or more protesters in New York?
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah.
It's going to be close.
It is, isn't it?
It's going to be close.
So we'll touch on that. M's going to be here to talk about, from ABC News, the decision on interest rates that's coming up. So there's all of that. The LA Unified Strike is the huge, huge story locally, along with the storm. So we'll be watching all that stuff.
I got it all. Shannon in with Mark Thompson this morning. Mm-hmm. Hey, guys, enjoy. Shannon, Mark, have a good show.
Thanks, pal.
All right, that's coming right up. Handle here in the morning crew, KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. You've been listening to The Bill Handel Show. Catch my show Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. and anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.